We can continue.
Questions? आप लोग हिंदी में भी पूछ सकते हैं प्रश्न है महाराज से जो आज चर्चा हुई उसके ऊपर क्वेश्चन said that there are four qualities which are unique to Lord Krishna and then there is a gradation that is given for several categories of the tattvas. So
what do you mean?
Maharaj, it is said that Lord Krishna...
What do you mean, the gradation given for several categories of the tattvas? I didn't understand.
For example, Maharaj, it is said that the Rudra tattva can have up to 55 qualities.
Mm-hmm.
The Jiva tattva can have up to 50 qualities like that mentioned. So Maharaj, the four qualities that distinguish and the sweetness that you talked about, are these four qualities related all to the sweetness of Lord Krishna? The four qualities that distinguish Lord Krishna from all other avatar, all other forms.
Well, what are they? There's Venu Madhurya, he's flute playing. There's Prima Madhurya. Yeah, they're all called Madhuri. Prema Madhur means the exchanges of love with his wonderful devotees. The Rupa Madhurya, his form is particularly sweet, more than any other form of the Lord. And his Leela Madhuri, or his extraordinary... Yes, so it's all sweet. More sweet, specific sweetness that's not found in any other form of the Lord.
Whereas whenever one has to distinguish and explain how Lord Krishna is the supermost, people ask what is the distinction, and then we try to give these four qualities.
Mm-hmm.
And then Maharaj, people say that, for example, this the Venu Madhurya Maharaj, the flutes. So how does one explain something like this, Maharaj? The flute.
This is not for ordinary people. Most people, they have to appreciate how great is God. First of all, they should appreciate that. This is a very high topic, discussing the personal qualities of Him. First of all, we need to understand there is a God. We are subordinate to Him. We are controlled by Him, whether we like it or not. Therefore, we should submit to Him. And that He is a person. When people can accept this, then after some time, then we should start to become interested in what are the qualities of that person. But first of all, we should understand the principle that He is a person. Otherwise, it may seem these discussions of the qualities may seem to persons without any faith as phantasmagoria. So this discussion, this is not the kind of thing we're going to discuss in a public group who don't have any appreciation of Krishna. This Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu is meant particularly for persons whose faith in Krishna is already somewhat awakened and developed.
Yes, Maharaj, but the Indians mostly, because of the belief in several gods, in the matter of preaching, typically the question comes between Lord Shiva and...
Well, then we refer to who is supreme, we refer to the Shastra. What is the evidence of Shastra? Particularly Bhagavad Gita. Aham sarvasya prabhavo, matah sarvam prabhatate. I am the source of everything. Everything comes from me. Matah parataram nanyat kinchid asti. No one is greater than me, even slightly. this is too subtle for gross people to appreciate, this description of Krishna's qualities. Gross people, they understand power and force. So who is the most powerful, they need to understand.
In the purport of 10.8,
chapter
10 and 8,
verse 8 of Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah, in that purport it was told, the patriarch Shiva and others are created by me, though they do not know that they are created by me because they are deluded by my illusionary energy. So, and it was quoted with the reference. So this means Shiva himself doesn't know that he is created by Krishna. He is
When it's referring to Shiva, it's stated that he doesn't know that he is created by me. Now, many statements in Shastra, they have to be understood contextually. Lord Shiva is a devotee of Krishna, but there are also the expansions of the Rudras who, they're not the original form of Lord Shiva, they're imbued with his potency to some extent. They may be jivas. Also, even though Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are great devotees, generally Brahma is a devotee, the fact that they have some lordship, it may lead them to sometimes forget to some extent that they are subordinate to Krishna. They may have some sense of being an independent god. That may sometimes bewilder them. This incident described in Bhagavatam of Mohini Murti is, that's there because what do we learn from this? That Lord Shiva wanted to see that beautiful form and he thought that he wouldn't be bewildered in the same way that the demons were bewildered, but he was, which goes to show that he's always subordinate to the power of Lord Vishnu, even if he thinks that inherently he is beyond that, the bewildering potency. So we should be very careful when we discuss these things, because we don't just start thinking that Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are just bewildered persons. But the fact is that everyone is to some extent or other bewildered by the potency of Lord Vishnu, either Yoga Maya or Mahamaya. Mother Yashoda also does, she's the topmost devotee, or she's certainly on the very topmost platform, but she also doesn't realize that Krishna is the source of her. She's bewildered, not bewildered in the way that we are bewildered. She's bewildered by love for Krishna, and we are bewildered by lack of love for Krishna. But either way, that Krishna is the source of everything is not understood. Krishna's potency is bewildering. Do you have a question?
Yes.
What's your question?
Maharaj, we put tilak. So this tilak means the two legs of Krishna in our forehead. So why does
two feet. You should say the feet, yeah.
So
that's called Urdhvapundram. We have to put it on like this, going from bottom to top, not from top to bottom. Where's your tilak?
So
you don't have any? Yeah, that in other words that symbolizes that we have the feet of our Lord on our head. That means expressing our subordination to him. It declares, I am Krishna Das.
So why should Krishna put tilak? We see in every photo that even Krishna is putting tilak.
Well, Krishna also thinks that his feet are something very wonderful. That's why we see sometimes the picture of baby Krishna sucking his toe. Because he thinks that, well, all the devotees are very interested in my feet. They think they're very sweet. So let me try and find out how sweet it is. Must be very good. Krishna also sets an example for us. Anything else?
She's a little hesitant to ask. The next part of her question is, why doesn't Srimati Radharani's Vigraha normally have the tilak mark on her head?
Well, traditionally women, they don't wear anything except the bindi and the sindhur. So Radharani also doesn't. She can't show openly that she's a devotee of Krishna. Written down, that was written at the beginning of Kali Yuga. Otherwise, it was in oral tradition.
So, any master copy, any place?
Master copy means
how to say it is
it's handed down generation after generation, copies are made. What is authentic? That will be ascertained by the acharyas. But generally it's all the same. Just like Bhagavad Gita, we don't find different versions of Bhagavad Gita. There may be some slight differences in some different recensions of Mahabharata and Srimad Bhagavatam, and that can lead to controversy. That's why we accept the scriptures through the acharyas and the explanation of the scriptures.
The script was the same, right now it is
the common script nowadays. No, there were other scripts previously, Brahmi script and some other one called Koshti or something.
Prakriti, like.
Prakriti is, that means languages that are derived from Sanskrit, rough languages. If we could say that modern languages like Hindi and Marathi, they developed from Prakriti. Means just the rough language of common people who are not very civilized, who don't know Sanskrit. Not very cultured. Not very educated. People think in the modern age, they think to be educated means to know English. But education in traditional culture means Sanskrit.
When we say 5,000 years before, Krishna preaches to Arjuna. So when we are talking about the sampradaya, there is no Arjuna sampradaya actually. He was telling Arjuna, you declare. So but when we are told like four sampradaya, in that I didn't see the Arjuna sampradaya actually. There is a Brahma sampradaya.
Well, Arjuna's, what was taught to Arjuna is in every sampradaya. They all accept Bhagavad Gita.
Brahma Sampradaya is coming. So, but he didn't give this knowledge to Brahmana. He gave to the Arjuna.
No, he gave this knowledge to Brahma also. Tene Brahma Hridaya Adi Kaviye. He gave this knowledge at the beginning of creation to Lord Brahma. Not exactly in that form of Bhagavad Gita, but all the knowledge, all the Vedic knowledge was given to Brahma. Of which the summary or the essence is there in Bhagavad Gita. When Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita, he didn't speak anything new. he gave the essence of all knowledge. In Bhagavad Gita. But it wasn't like he invented something or just something that had never been heard of before.
And I want to ask something outside today's text.
Yeah, well there are already quite a few questions like that.
Maharaj, in terms of accepting a guru, Maharaj, what references can we see in order to determine what are the qualities of a guru besides Guru Vashtakam? And
well, Guru Vashtakam, that you also, that's not the criteria by which we accept someone. Someone might be crying and falling on the ground as it's described, but they may be a complete cheater, just making a show. And how can you tell whether someone's actually desiring to or is serving in their mind the divine couple? So the basic characteristics are those which are ascertainable. You may say, well, we should have someone who's a premi bhakta and this and that, but then a premi bhakta, they don't show. It's not a big show. If someone is making a big show, you'd probably better run away, because they're interested in others praising them. We don't find the great devotees like Srila Prabhupada, they made a big show of their internal ecstasy. They kept it internal. Two main symptoms are given. Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam. That they should have heard in a parampara, and they should be fixed in the absolute truth. These are the two main characteristics which are given.
Can you repeat again?
The terms are given Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam, which are also described a little more elaborately as Shabde Pare Janishna Tambra Manyu Pashama Ashraya, which means the same thing. It means he should be fully immersed in spiritual knowledge that is heard. That means heard from a guru in sin parampara. And has fully taken shelter of the Supreme through the parampara system. Or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Jai Krishna Tattva Veta Shri Guru Hoy. One who knows the science of Krishna consciousness is qualified to be a guru. So these are the references that Srila Prabhupada cited. Mostly. He also often quoted, Jare Deko Tare Koha Krishna Upadesh Amaragya Guru Hoyatara Idesh. One who is preaching Krishna Upadesh, by that they automatically become a guru. Guru means one who teaches. Then how do they teach? Then again, Prabhupada would often quote this without giving the Sanskrit. I'll give the Sanskrit. Achinoti Ashastrani. Acharya Acharya Sthapyati Api Swayam Acharate Yasmat Acharya Sthena Kirtita. Srila Prabhupada would often quote this very simply as, an Acharya is one who teaches by his personal example. So it means he knows what's in the scripture and he personally lives that and teaches by his example. These are simple criteria. Don't make it very complex. Any other question?
So Maharaj, it means for us, like before.
For us, you just find who's, make it very simple. Just find who's faithfully following Srila Prabhupada and transmitting that. That's for those who have come to ISKCON through the system and guidance and books given by Srila Prabhupada. Just find who's following Srila Prabhupada and repeating that. That's all.
Maharaj, telling about the Lord or preaching the Prabhupada's mission, before that we should be perfect in our listening. Then only we can talk about the Lord to others. So it means first we.
Wait a minute. This contention or this idea was brought to Srila Prabhupada that first of all you have to become perfect, then you speak. And then Prabhupada said, well, then you'll never be perfect. How are you going to become perfect? Perfection means to speak about Krishna. If you don't speak about Krishna, then how are you going to be perfect? Well, who's going to judge what is perfection? Who will say what is perfection? If one is perfectly following his spiritual master, the follower is fit to become a leader.
What we are talking to others, at least that much we are following. Then only we have to speak.
Yeah, of course one should follow. It's not that one should teach others, don't eat meat and you yourself eat meat. You shouldn't be a hypocrite. You should follow and preach. Yeah.
Maharaj, we are told, even Srila Prabhupada says in various lectures, that initiation is a very serious matter and one should carefully apply oneself to finding out who to accept as a spiritual master. Now, the issue comes, Maharaj, that for this, according to Bhagavad Gita, one should serve the person and then in a service sincerely ask him questions. And such opportunities are very far and few between, Maharaj, where one can serve somebody and at the same time determine whether that person is, you know, one can accept.
Opportunities are few and far between. Well, service doesn't just mean to cook some sabji. There are other things you can do also. Just like people often ask me how can they serve me? Well, I don't need, 50 people cooking chapatis and 200 people cleaning the room. One would be good, but personal service in those terms, that's always going to be limited. But the service that one can do to assist the spiritual master in his service to his spiritual master, that is unlimited. Just like people often ask me, how can I say, well, the first thing, we'll follow the basic things first of all, is what I tell everyone. Yeah? You're asking for some special service. All service is special. If you do all those, if you chant nicely 16 rounds and study Prabhupada's books, people ask for special service. That's special. Don't think it's not special. If you want anything more, then I can distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. That might be a little difficult in this country also. But one can, after getting some basic knowledge of what's there, one can help in the preaching mission also. Otherwise, what do you think? That the service to the spiritual master means, you know, like I say, 50 people cooking chapatis? What does it mean? It means to, the best service is to become purified and help others come to Krishna consciousness.
Yes.
So you can do that.
Yes.
And you don't have to be within the vision of the spiritual master all the time to do that. It's not that you have to look at him and he has to look at you. It's not necessary to do that all the time. Opportunities for asking questions, they may be somewhat limited in your situation. Of course, with modern technology, that's possible from any time, anywhere, any place. But then there are also, just like there can't be 50 people cooking chapatis for one spiritual master, there also he also can deal with a certain volume of questions. So that may be done through senior disciples also. This is what Srila Prabhupada did. It's just practical. If you're going to preach Krishna consciousness very widely, and that may necessitate accepting many disciples, because one or a serious disciple, they become a disciple by hearing. What is the message coming through? Does it affect me? Does it purify? Do I feel that by following the message as it's presented here, I will be benefited in the ultimate sense? So the opportunity to hear is there. And then those who have heard, the senior disciples, they assist the spiritual master by overseeing the younger disciples. Of course, in our ISKCON movement, we have a unique situation in which there are disciples of different gurus, at least theoretically, living together and cooperating together in the service of Srila Prabhupada. So, like that, those who are more senior, they helped the junior. And you can listen to the lectures also. That's how my connection came with Srila Prabhupada. When I joined ISKCON, there was no question of... In the West, we saw Srila Prabhupada very briefly. And we were trained by his more senior disciples. But the transcendental connection is there.
Maharaj, I read this in your book, Jai Srila Prabhupada, where you mentioned about your interaction with Srila Prabhupada.
It's maybe my memories of Srila
Prabhupada.
Yeah, often those two books are confused. Yeah.
Maharaj, there is specific reference or context is given that the guru helps remove the specific anarthas that are lying in the heart of a disciple. Now, of course, there's a transcendental connection, but my question was pertaining to the physical contact to some degree, where the guru can help remove the anarthas. Not
physical contact, yeah, but this.
Otherwise, how does the guru understand?
How does the guru do it? Well, I'll give an example. It's not exactly to the matter of removing anarthas. Srila Prabhupada was residing in Vrindavan and commuting to Delhi, or actually spending a lot of time in Delhi for printing his books. Actually, before this, he was making magazine, Back to Godhead. Then one librarian said to Srila Prabhupada, "Why don't you write books that will have a more lasting effect?" And Srila Prabhupada said, I recognize that my spiritual master was speaking through this person." So one also has to be tuned in to the message. It can come through others also.
Well, that's a pure state, isn't it? Otherwise I could be misled into thinking
You can be also, yeah. It requires sincerity and guidance. But you see, one may be in the personal association of the spiritual master and not hear him also. And he can tell you directly and you won't hear it. I know that for a fact of dealing with my disciples, is that some of them don't want to hear what I have to tell them. They're not really disciples. Real disciples are those who want to hear and follow. Some become disciples as a formality. Some become disciples so they can be recognized that they're initiated and not they'll be recognized in the society of devotees as someone who's not just a beginner. There are various reasons some people accept initiation. One should accept initiation. The ideal disciple is one who accepts initiation because, like I say, they want to hear and be purified and take the guidance by which they can go all the way to Krishna. I guess it's a pressing question for some of you who have been practicing Krishna consciousness for some time and you're feeling that maybe it's time when you should start thinking about asking about initiation. They sometimes they say, "I want to choose a guru." It's like, but you can make a decision who you want to approach for initiation, but it's not necessarily that you'll be accepted. You should also consider that. It's not like, well, I've been looking at you and I think you're good enough to be my guru, so, you know, you're lucky. By the grace of God, you can have me as your disciple. So, I don't like this idea. I don't like this choosing a guru. But rather one should pray to Krishna to please guide me to someone who will bring me to you. And if you pray like that, often the prayers will be answered very quickly.
Maharaj, you were giving Srila Prabhupada's example for removing anarthas. I was not able to understand that example of how he removed anarthas.
No, well, I gave the example that the spiritual master may speak through someone else. So it may not be directly that you may not see the, I was saying that you were saying that you have to be in direct personal association, otherwise how will the guru do it? But by Krishna's arrangement, the guru can speak through someone else also. And I also said that you might be in the direct personal association of the spiritual master and not have the anarthas removed. Familiarity breeds contempt. That's one thing. Some may not want to have their anarthas removed.
So the first step is to pray to Krishna.
Pray to Krishna, please. That I need shelter, someone who can guide me.
Can I ask a related question? Prabhupada used to say, if you are a cheater, Lord Krishna will send you the biggest cheater. If you're trying to cheat, Lord Krishna will send you the biggest cheater as...
Yeah, like that.
Something like that.
Yeah. If you want to be cheated, Krishna will send us a cheater. Yeah.
So, anarthas may be there, but it's the sincerity which determines whether you're trying to cheat or not cheat. Is that the idea?
Yeah, recognize that I require purification.
Yes.
So, I'm rotten, I know that, but I don't want to remain rotten. We are inspired by the prayers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, by the ideal of selfless devotion that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu espouses. So this is what I want. If you want that, then Krishna will give us the opportunity to advance on the path. But even taking shelter of a guru, it's not just a one-off thing. You sit in a ceremony and you're initiated, but it's ongoing at every moment. At every moment we have to choose to surrender and accept the guidance or not. So initiation, Srila Prabhupada said initiation is a formality, but in the sense that the ceremony of initiation, it's a formality which shows our commitment to surrender at every moment. Otherwise initiation goes on at every moment. The commitment to surrender. And sometimes we go up and down, but the basic commitment is there to surrender. At the same time, that formality is required, because without that formal surrender, our surrender may be just theoretical. It's just like sometimes people, you ask them to chant Hare Krishna, say, well, I'm always chanting in my mind. It's a cheating thing to say. This is very common when I was in Bangladesh. People say, no, I'm always chanting in my mind. They're avoiding. How can that be ascertained? You know, you have to take beads and chant, make it solid.
Ourselves that we are not body, we are soul. We say in the scriptures, but really
it's in the scriptures. Realization comes gradually. Accepting initiation is one declaration that I accept that I am not the body. I have to act on the spiritual platform. By serving Krishna, we act on the spiritual platform. We use the body in Krishna's service. We act on the platform of Atma. So by serving Krishna, then we gradually come to realize that I am the servant of Krishna, which is the ultimate understanding of I am not the body. And as one becomes more and more fixed in that conception, then we become less and less attached to the body. There are many things, even the language we speak. Just like when we meet people, we say, how are you? Immediately it's the bodily concept. So devotees don't say, how are you? You're not supposed to say that. How are you means, how is your body? Because among materialistic people, the body is considered the self. And the health of the body is considered the most important thing. Anyway, as you're all in this, or some of you are in this stage of thinking about accepting initiation, I would request you all to do so in the manner described in the Shastra. I was saying about praying, but there's also one should see the symptoms according to Shastra. Because what I see among our devotees, especially among Indian devotees, it's mostly done in a kind of sentimental or fanatical way. Someone comes and says, my guru is the... And then, this guru, he's the best. And then everyone thinks, my guru is the best. But we should try and understand from scripture what the characteristics are and respect all the devotees who are teaching Krishna consciousness. It's not that by accepting initiation then you think, my guru is the best. He must be the best because he initiated me. So he must be the best because only the best for me. And all the others, you know, they're all inferior because they're disciples of other gurus. And they're not so intelligent as me. I worked out who the best is. It's a very neophyte attitudes which don't help. It's almost like there's so many people they quote Kabir and their understanding of guru is coming from Kabir or something. Try to study the characteristics of devotees as described in Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita on that basis. Go forward, not just some fanaticism. People become more attached to the external, keeping a picture, keeping the photo, then what is he, how is his smile, and all this kind of thing. Hearing, try to hear. The whole process is based on hearing. And from hearing naturally comes service. Because we're talking about surrender to Krishna, which means that one's activities should be in Krishna's service.
Working in Gulf especially. we are serving the people like who are not actually Krishna.
You're serving demons and meat eaters, and
simultaneously we are trying to.
And simultaneously trying to be Krishna conscious.
Krishna consciousness. So
yeah, it's a funny. It's not a very intrinsically. It's not a very favorable situation for serving Krishna to be working for people you don't even know who they are most of the time. You may not even know their names, as well, even owns the company. And working in bad association, long hours, everything's unfavorable. But somehow or other, people come to Krishna consciousness more in this situation. So it's a funny mixture. Krishna's mercy works in funny ways.
Where ultimately we will be learning
Maharaj?
Where we will be learning ultimately?
Well, you can learn at every moment. One thing you should learn is that...
Where we will be landing?
Where will you land? Well, if you chant Hare Krishna, you've already landed at the lotus feet of Krishna. One thing that should be obvious is that the nature of material hopes, because before coming to the Gulf, everyone is very hopeful that everything's going to be so wonderful, I'm going to be earning money and living a better life, but it doesn't take long to realize that it's definitely not Swarga Loka, and that the tensions, the anxieties, the pressure, the strain, that it's just done in a slightly more comfortable environment, that's all. But otherwise, mentally one is suffering as much as one was in India, and maybe other added difficulties also. So really the only shelter is Krishna. So the difficulties of the situation can be an impetus for us to surrender to Krishna. So in that way it's good. Time?
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
Bhakti Vikas Maharaj ki.
You want to hold it? Yeah. Do that service? All right. I'll give you that service.